Ephesians chapter 4. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 17 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 24. So remember, we are trying to answer the question, who am I? And we've said several things thus far. We said we are God's creation, we are sinners by nature, and we are saved sinners. We are saved by God's grace through faith. And that's what we saw yesterday. Today I would like us to focus on the fact that we are a new creation. We are new beings. Even though we are sinful and lost in our sins, God saves us, but he does not. Salvation is not just a fire insurance. I mean, it's not just so that you don't go to hell. There is more to it. There is a reason the Lord saves us. And there is a way we ought to be living. And we alluded to that fact yesterday. But I would like us to focus more on that. On being a new creation. Being different. Being distinct. Living a holy, distinct life. That is an indication of the fact that you are actually a new creation, that you've been saved from your sins. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you've heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which has been corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So Paul is saying, now that you are actually saved, now that you've been made alive, and now that you are actually a Christian, walk like it, live like it. That's what he's basically saying. So he says, do not continue living the way you used to live. And that's what he says from verse 17 to 21, that you do not walk like those who are still in sin, with their lost mind and having a darkened understanding, excluded from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them. And they, because of the hardness of their heart, they've become callous. And the word callous simply means, you know, when you have... When you play your video game, when you are playing for so long, what happens to your fingers? They become hard, right? They become callous, that you actually can't. The skin becomes dead on the tip of your fingers. That you stop. You can, if you continue like that, you stop feeling. You know it stop. So he's basically saying there's a time when sin didn't bother you. You were totally not sensitive to sin. It never bothered you. Here's an illustration. When you pass by a rubbish pit that is stinking, what do you normally do? You know, and you even spit. Why we spit, I don't know. Okay? But it stinks. But if you pass there every day, do you notice that you actually stop sensing? You just pass and it's normal. And when someone passes there the first time, they will say, how do you manage passing here? And you're like, oh no, it's okay. You get used to it. Right? You become desensitized.
And that's why some of you whose shoes produce an aroma, when you remove your shoes and your socks, I mean, for you it's okay. It's normal. When someone walks in and they're like, "What's that? What's that?" You're like, "Oh, no, nothing. I don't feel anything." Because your nose has, in a way, become callous. You've become desensitized. No wonder. That's how boys are able to survive in their rooms. You know, they were eating cornflakes 2 weeks ago, and the plate is under the bed, and it's even developed fungus. You know, the shoes, it's a mess. You know, when you enter the room the first time, the smell hits you in the face. And this guy is okay, he's busy eating in the room. I'm just saying, how? Well, because the guy is used. And that's what sin does. You live a sinful life that you actually get used. It's normal. You're not bothered by it. You're like, "Oh yeah, it's okay. It's cool." You know, it's cool. It even becomes a joke, and that's what happens. Your heart is hardened, and you become callous, and you give yourself over to sin and every kind of impurity. So Paul is saying, however, for those of you who've been saved, so for those of you who have an identity in Christ, those of you who have become new creations, those of you who've been saved from your sins, this is not what you've learned. This is not you. This should not be true of you, because you did not learn Christ in this way. If you indeed have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that should not be the case. So he then says three things that should be true of those who are truly saved, of those who can clearly say, can answer the question, "Who am I?" and say, "I am a new creation in Christ Jesus." This is what he says, beginning in verse 22. He says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. So he says, put off the old self. If you are truly saved, if you are truly a child of God, you lay aside, you put off the old self, you put off your old ways, you put off your old thinking, your old speech, your old actions, your old way of living, because you are now a new person. You are a transformed person. You should lay aside those former things. And the idea of putting off is the idea of removing dirty clothing. I mean, when you are dirty after running around, you are sweating and stinking and all dirty and messed up, what do? You remove the clothes, take a bath, and put on the same clothes. No, you put on new clothes, right? Because those are dirty, they need to be washed. When a baby messes herself up, you don't remove the diaper and put it back on. When you remove the diaper, you throw it, because it's dirty, it's messy. And that's the idea. He's saying, you are a new person. You are now saved. You have a new identity. You therefore put away your old self. You lay aside your sinfulness and your sinful actions and your sinful habits, because they are corrupted, because they are sinful, they are against your new nature. You cannot continue living like that. I mean, it's like a baby who has a messed up diaper, and you say, no, it's okay. It's okay. She'll be fine. She'll be fine. Let her live like that. And for days, that baby remains in that messed up diaper. And you say, no, it's okay. Even when it's smelling, you say, it's okay. It's actually cool. It's cool. You know? This baby is the one. You know, she has a messed up diaper. She's cool. She's a diva. But you know, that's exactly what we do with sin. It's the sinful people who are cool. I mean, they insist on living the odd way. They insist on not removing the dirty diaper. And we're saying, it's cool, yeah. I actually want to hang out with them. I wish they can be my friend. Because they are just so cool. They are just so messy and stinking and smelling. And they are corrupted. Oh, I just like it. And Paul is saying, if it's true you've been saved, if it's true you are in Christ Jesus, you put off that. Put off your odd self, your corrupted behavior, corrupted nature, your sinful ways, your former manner of life. Lay it aside. And in order to do that, I mean, the idea is you totally cut it off. Radical cutting off. You don't go around messing with sin. There should be, like I said yesterday, a total transformation. That therefore means, if you have unsaved friends and you become saved, you lay aside your former life. You can't be a Christian with unchristian friends. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. Do not be unequally yoked with non-believers. You can't say, oh, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, but all my friends are non-Christians and they do not love the Lord. But we are cool. The Bible is saying, put off your old self. Lay aside, radically cut off everything and anyone who is part of your former life of sin. You can't continue living the same way. So friends should be different. Your speech should be different. Your actions should be different. Yesterday you were looking at entertainment. Your movies should be different. I mean, do you think there should be a difference on the kinds of the things that excite Christians and the things that excite non-Christians? You bet they should. Your music should be different. No, but what if I listen and I don't do what they say? I just listen, it's cool. Different. It's saying, put aside, lay aside, put off all corrupt living. Your former self, lay it aside. So he says, you put off that. But number two, verse 23 says, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Remember, you are dirty. You put off your clothes. You shower. Now some of you just put off dirty clothes without showering. You put on clean clothes. You even put spray. And then you walk around. Next day again, put off dirty clothes without showering, put on. What are you doing? And then when when you sleep, I mean, you are going to sleep, you are dirty. You wake up clean. You say, where did the dirty go? I'm clean, look. Not knowing that all your dirt is remaining in your clothes and your beddings. So you are supposed to renew the mind. You renew the mind. And that the idea is there should be a change, because you see, sin doesn't just come stop abracadabra, I've stopped. No, it doesn't work like that. Okay? You just don't wake up and say, okay, now I've stopped, I'm changed, it stopped. No, it's a process. And even growing is a process. And the only way you grow as a child of God is by changing your mind. Remember, your mind was darkened. Your understanding, your way of thinking was corrupt. It was sinful. You thought like the world. And you look at things in a corrupt way. So what you actually need is to change your mind, to change your thinking with the Word of God. Notice Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Or verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 9, Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? I mean, how can someone live a clean, pure, holy life? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you, and do not let me wander from your commandment. Notice verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Listen, guys, if you are going to have a different way, a holy way of living, if you are going to think differently, you need to have your mind changed by the word of God. Now, how does someone have their mind changed by the word of God? I mean, it's not through osmosis. You don't do it. You know, the word of God. The word of God, I put it on my head. The word of God. Or you put it under your pillow when you are sleeping. And so I just love the word of God. You just look at it. Oh, the word of God, beautiful. It's black. Yeah, I love the pages. I just love this book. Oh, no. You read it. You read the word. You meditate on the word. You obey the word. Let's read one more verse. I'm sure it's a verse you must have read in your study time. First John. Chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Verse 3. First John 2:3. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. If you keep his word. Now you can't keep his word unless you know his word. And you can't know his word unless you read his word. Study his word. Open up his word and say, what does God say? And that's I mean, if you love someone, you want to be talking to them, right? You want to be found in their presence. You want to hear what they are saying. That's the way it is. Yeah, I can't come to you and say, oh, I love this person. Oh, you do? Yeah. When was the last time you saw them? Ah, never. Never. Yes. Ah, okay, do you talk on the phone? No, we don't. No. So you've never talked to them? No. I just imagine. Hey, they must be nice. I love them. What are they like? Ah, I don't know. What do they like? I don't know. But yeah, I've heard about them. I love them. You say, are you okay? But that's exactly what we do. Oh, I love God. Do you love God? Yes. Oh, what is God like? I've heard a few things. But I have no idea. The pastor keeps talking about him on Sunday. Do you ever hear God speak? No. I hear he says something in his word, but it's boring, you know. But I love him. And I know he loves me too. We have a relationship. But yeah, we've not spoken in a while. But that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. And the reason a lot of people who claim to be Christians are so shallow and never grow is because their Bibles are closed. Totally closed. We are busy with gadgets, Facebook and my WhatsApp and what have you, mix it and whatever. Social media, that's there. We are always there. We know what's the latest. We know what whoever we are following has said and what they've done. The latest pictures they've posted. But we have no clue what God says in his word. And we say, oh, we love the Lord. We love the Lord. And yet, we hear what these celebrities are saying. Have you heard Wizkid is coming to Heroes? We know the latest data. And then we say, so the Bible. No, it's boring. It's boring. Guys, listen. If you are truly saved and you want to grow, there is no magic formula. There are no three steps to success. You have to open this book, open your eyes, and read. It's as simple as that. There is no shortcut. I mean, I always get shocked how people have extremely expensive phones, but they can't afford the simple basic Bible. They have no Bible. Yet, they have an extremely expensive phone. Open your Bible. Say, I don't have a Bible. Amwana, how? No, I can't afford. Are you sure? I mean, people study their textbooks, study their text. A test is coming. You know, I need to read this. Open your Bible and read.
you know, it's hard. You know how hard it's hard. And it's also very boring, you know. You mean to tell me Pythagoras' theory is interesting? Dy dx is interesting. Doesn't even make sense. But some of you have it mastered. And then we say, open and read. This is your life. It's boring. You know the Bible. It's boring. But somehow, what the Kardashians are doing is interesting. They say they are going to the saloon. Oh, they went to the saloon. They said they went to the park. Oh, they went to school. They went to the park. So what? Then what? Throwback Thursday. Did you see that cool photo? Throwback Thursday. It's just the one. Okay, then what? Then what? What does that do for your life? Does it make you a better person? You master the lyrics of all the latest songs. I mean, even those guys, who... I listen to that and all I'm hearing is... And I'm like, is this singing in English? Oh, yes, it's English. And somehow, you guys have super hearing skills. You pick up the words. The guy says, and you know everything that he has said. And so when the preacher, who is speaking very slowly, very clearly, in a way that you can understand, you have no idea what he's saying. But when a guy comes up peace out. You guys understand everything. And when someone says, the Bible says put off your old self. Clueless. Somehow, that's very hard to understand. So I just didn't understand. I think it's boring, man. The only way you renew your mind, you clean yourself up. The only way you can become transformed into the image of Jesus Christ is by daily reading this book. Daily hearing from God. Daily growing and applying and keeping the words of God and living them out. Hiding them in your heart. Treasuring them in your heart. It should become a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It should be your guide. Everything you do, you should be able to say, what does God's word say? What does God's word say about this? What does it say? Because you see, you want to become like Jesus Christ, and the only way you become like Jesus Christ is by knowing Him through His Word. So you renew your mind. You become transformed by the Word of God. And then, verse 24. And put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness in truth. So, you put off, renew, put on. Okay? You take a bath, remove your clothes, take a bath, come out clean, put on new clothes, and you go. And that's what it's saying here. You put off the old self, renew your mind, become Christ-like, and put on the character of Christ. Live like Him, act like Him, think like Him, talk like Him.
And when this is happening, what will be evident is that you will be growing.
I mean, can you imagine a 15-year-old baby?
Huh? Have you ever seen a 15-year-old baby?
No, he's 15 years old, but he never grows. He's in his diaper and still crying for the bottle. Yeah, 15 year old. You say there is a problem, right? People who don't grow are either dead or very sick.
Those are the only two things. Anything that is alive grows. There are only two reasons things don't grow. They are either dead or extremely sick. Christians who don't grow are either not Christians or extremely sick. The idea that you are at the same level of your Christianity the way you were last year is not biblical. Because this process should be going on. You should be putting off, renewing, putting on. Putting off, renewing, putting on. So the whole idea of, that's where I am. I was there 2 years ago and I'm still there. It is foreign to the Bible. It's either you are not saved or you have serious issues. Serious sin issues. But if you are truly saved, you ought to be growing. You ought to be moving from one level to the other. You ought to be becoming more like Jesus Christ. Every day, there should be progress. So you can't say, I'm walking that side, and you are like this. No, I'm walking. I'm going there. Same spot. I'm going there. Same spot. 1 week, same spot, I'm going. 2 weeks, I'm walking, Yeah, it's tiring, but I'm going there. And you've been at the same spot for years. So, I'm actually saved. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm just growing. I'm still young. This thing is a process. I'm not yet there. So what you're basically saying is I'm still a baby. I'm still in diapers. I'm not yet there. You're 5 years old. Yeah. I still want to be sucking milk. I'm a baby. No. Guys, we should be growing. And that's what God's word does. It grows you. It transforms you. It changes you. It makes you more like Jesus Christ. Because, you see, you are a new creation. So Galatians says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So growing, here's what growing does. I mean, I think let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians is just a book before Ephesians, so a few pages to your left. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For those who are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that please you. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, the factions, envying, drunkenness, carelessness, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not do what? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's saying this kind of lifestyle is not for those who are new creation. Those who have been saved. It's not.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
So he's saying there's a battle going on, raging within you, the flesh and the spirit. I mean, for those who are Christians, it's a battle. It's agonizing. I mean, you are struggling. And by the way, that's one way you know you are a Christian. Well, when there is a struggle to sin, I mean, when you just don't go around sinning comfortably and you know you are okay with your life and enjoying. No. That's not Christianity. People who are saved will struggle with sin because you see, they have a different nature. They will sin, yes, but they will struggle. And even after they sin, they are not comfortable. It's them up, and they can't wait to go before God and ask for forgiveness and confess their sins. People who just coast through sinning, you know, we are having a blast sinning, enjoying our lives, and even planning how we are going to sin and hide it and keep it. That's a clear sign. That the spirit is not in you. That you are still dead in your sins. You've not been brought back to life. That you are not a new creation. Because if you are, there will be a struggle, a battle. And when you are renewing your mind, the fruit of the spirit will become evident. You'll be winning that battle. It will not be easy, but you will still be winning because you are daily in God's word. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but he delights in the word of in the law of the Lord day and night. So to put on means that these things will be evident in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit. You become more loving. You become more joyful. You become more patient. You become more kind. You become good. You become faithful. Gentleness. Self-control. What is love? Well, you love other people unconditionally and sacrificially. You are looking out for their interest. What is joy? Well, you seek, you choose to enjoy your life regardless of what is happening. Regardless of what is happening, you still enjoy your life. You are still joyful. You count it all joy. You rejoice in the Lord always. I mean, there are people who become miserable. Miserable because their phone battery is gone. Miserable because a useless phone battery is finished. It's the end of the world. But it's at school. I just can't understand. I can't take it anymore. What is the problem? My battery is dead. I can't live without my phone. Are you sure? You can't live without your phone. Were you born with your phone? No, you just don't understand. And a simple phone is able to mess up your life. My Bible says Christians should be joyful. Well, what are you going to do when trials come? Real trials. You are miserable by a simple phone. Well, when trials of life, because the Bible says, count it all joy when, not if, when you fall into various trials. So you become more joyful. You become peaceful. You have a peace that passes all understanding. You're not easily shaken. But you also pursue peace with others. You become patient. You endure the irritations of others. That's what patience means. You endure. You don't blow a fuse. You're not going around trying to give everyone a piece of your mind. Whatever that phrase means. You endure, you are patient, you are long-suffering. You suffer long with people and situations because you have Christ in you and you are daily being renewed. You become kind, you seek other people's good, and you go out of your way to do good for others. You have good works. You are also faithful, reliable, trustworthy. That's what faithfulness means. It means you are a reliable, trustworthy person. Dependable. When you say, I will be there at 8 hours, you will not be there at 8:15. You will be there at 8. This Zambian time thing is sin, serious sin. It's unfaithfulness, it's inconsideration, it is lack of respect and regard for others. I mean, not keeping time is being unfaithful. It means you lack integrity. Your word means nothing. You've seen how people, I mean, if people say, yes, at what time? 8 hours. Okay. Come 30 minutes late, unmoved. And when they come, sorry, yeah, Zambian time. That's a clear sign that someone is very unreliable. They are not faithful. They lack integrity. They are liars. Then it says gentle, meekness, it's power under control. And lastly, self-control. In other words, you are not led by the desires of your flesh. You exercise self-control. And the only way you can do that is if you have Christ in you and you are daily becoming more like Him and you are being renewed. So if you're a new creation, you should be becoming more like Christ. You should be putting off the old self, renewing our minds, and putting on the new man. Becoming more like Christ. That's who we are in Christ. And I hope that's what you are. Because that's what matters. That's what matters. Everything else is meaningless. At the end of the day, when all has been said and done, guys, the question is, are you like Christ? Are you daily being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ? Amen.